Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Two Weird Hungry Girls podcast. I'm Phoebe, and I have a very special co-host today and a very special guest. And I'd like to say that we're probably like three weird hungry girls, I think, in this episode in particular. Tracy can't make it today, but I have a special friend who I've met from the community, and her name is Pam Rothenberger.
Hi, Phoebe.
Hi. And I have a very special guest that I just recently met, Lisa Marie Valentini.
That's right. Sister Lisa Marie Valentini.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you the for correcting part me. Yes. I mean, you're wearing like the, and I still call you Lisa.
It's okay.
Yes. And we just recently connected, or I met you at an event that was called Women Helping Women. And it was hosted by the Missionary Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Which is my religious community.
Yes.
Yes.
Here in Reading.
Exactly.
And it was like an amazing event.
It was, wasn't it?
It was uplifting.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes like we get so busy and bogged down, right?
Yes.
And like day to day that we forget to like help people up.
Yep.
Because like we feel like, or maybe in our own issues, we feel like I might be drowning and we forget like to help.
And I think sometimes we think we're the only one. Mm-hmm. Going through whatever, and then all of a sudden we hear, oh my gosh, and oh my heavens, and then then all of a sudden it's like, yikes, I don't have it bad at all,
right?
Yeah,
which I think is going to be interesting about the perspective that the two of you have to offer, because Pam was the executive director of Mentors for Berks Youth.
Yes, for 6 years.
Yes. And you're a mom.
And I am. I have two grown daughters. Amy is 44 and Sarah's 41.
So I think you're both going to have like very interesting perspectives. So I think I'm going to take the show like on an interesting spin. We talk about health and wellness. We talk about lifestyle issues. And I think it's really important, like in terms of Two Weird Hungry Girls, to stay connected to what we're eating, how we think, and how we spend our time, right?
Right.
And I'm so glad that both of you are here.
Thank you.
Because I would love to talk about your experience working with the youth. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you do, sister?
Okay. So I've been a sister for 42 years. And when I was becoming a sister, which was a big surprise to everybody, including me, I wanted to be a first grade teacher. Oh, okay. That was my dream. And so what happened was I finished my studies. They said, you can't teach first grade. I'm like, why not? They said, because you're left-handed. Shut up. Anyway, I ended up with second graders. And one day I was preparing the religion class, and in it it said that in our world there's over 1 billion people who have never heard the good news. And I was like, man, somebody has to tell them. And that led me to volunteer to be a missionary, which sent me to Peru in South America, where I stayed for 5 years and changed my life forever. So I found a different call within my religious life calling, and when I came home, I had this great job of going around talking to kids, grade school, high school, college, about the mission experiences. And one day, a group of high school girls said, oh, sister, that sounds so cool. And I said, it's 1 million times as cool as it sounds. I can't even make it sound as cool as it is. And they said, could we ever go? Mm-hmm. And so that was back in the early 1990s. And I ended up taking a large group of young women on a mission immersion trip. Since then, I've hosted 54 mission immersion trips, hundreds. And in the beginning, it was all girls. Then we mixed it up, and then there's some adults. But I continue to take young women to have a mission experience out of country. And it's amazing to see what happens to them. They are beautiful and giving, and it's just their eyes are opened, and it's awesome.
What age group usually? When you say young women, you're not talking about into college already.
Like, well, they could be. Okay. It's anybody from kind of the end of high school. It depends on how the group is configured. If I'm the lead person, they have to be finished high school. But if the youth minister is going, then they can take sophomores, juniors in high school and on. And then up through college.
Like where I was mentally, like in 7th grade versus 12th grade versus freshman in college.
Oh, there's a big difference. It's funny. Yeah. I stopped taking junior girls kind of because there's a lot of drama. I had one group once that I meet with them and I talk about them. And life in the missions is very different. It's very simple. We are blessed. We have running water, but we don't have hot water. Huh. And after this one group, after 7 meetings, these young women who I like them. And after seven meetings, they said, can we wear mascara? Now, at that point, I should have said, this trip is not for you.
Right.
That was my fault. I should have seen that this was not where they were. And so it's very interesting. I have had amazing experiences. But that particular group, I felt like they never even came to the Dominican Republic. They were there. And they worked hard and they did a good job. But it wasn't in them. It didn't go into their hearts. And part of it was their continual conversations about their high school experiences, about who said what about what. All that nitpicky girl stuff that makes you crazy and binds these women, binds these young girls so that they can't even get out of the box. Makes me nuts.
They don't even know they're in a box sometimes, I think. Yeah.
So when you've taken like the different groups out, the two, I don't want to say different groups, but when you've taken young women out and you see some respond so differently than probably other young women, how do you like encourage the girls in the box to get out of the box? Like, is there, like, are we still salvageable as young women? Like, how do we change our perspective?
Absolutely, they are. And what's really nice is that I have a couple of young women who are now in college, out of college. One in particular, she's gone with me 8 different times. Now, this is a kid who I knew before she was born, and eventually it was like, I'm going to go with you someday. And, you know, this is when she's in 4th grade. And I'm like, okay. And then when she came to high school, then she came. And now she's like a mentor kind of girl. Mm-hmm. And what's really nice, and what I say, when I take, I certainly have an adult or two adult women who come along as well. And I say, we don't do it like chaperoning kids. We don't do it like that. It's everybody's mission experience because it's a whole different experience. But I tell everyone, we need to have each other's back. And so I ask them to look out for each other. I say, and I said, watch yourself. If you think you're acting weird, tell somebody. I said, you don't have to tell me. Do you know? Mm-hmm. And I say, and if I am getting on your nerves, tell me or tell somebody else to tell me because I'm in charge. I said, this is it. I'm in charge and I'm the boss. But sometimes I'm bossy. I'm Italian and Irish. I am very bossy, you know. But what they do for each other, and that I think that's the best part, is watching these young women help one another. You know, somebody's sitting down reading a book, which is so strange because we're usually busy all the time. So, you know, there's introvert people who kind of need their time out. But when we're on this 2-week mission experience, you're mine. You're mine. Every minute of those 2 weeks, you're mine. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody seems to be kind of absenting themselves, the other young, like, I don't have to do it. Okay. They look out for each other.
You're helping them learn to build community.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is so very, very important. Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be to watch that happen. Even as a mother with my teenage girls and the things they were involved with or not involved with spoke volumes about who they were, and they're so very different, still are very different from each other. But it's so very important to help them see that they are part of a larger community. And quite frankly, I'm sure that many of those young girls and young women take that learning experience with them and try to build community elsewhere, because that's certainly a part of wellness, and extending beyond yourself is always something that is paramount in my mind and hard to translate to someone else. Mm-hmm. So you make them live it and they know it.
Mm-hmm. And when you say about community building, what's been amazing, because like I've been at this, I've done 54 groups of young people.
I want to go on your next one.
You're welcome. Seriously, it's awesome. But what's really neat is the bonds that are made among these young people and how they continue to look out for each other. Yes. How they continue to contact and say, hey, so-and-so is looking for a job. How's she doing? Or, you know, calling somebody and just saying, oh, I know that you were having a hard time selling your apartment. Did you get out of there? You know, but just that this continual bond has been really beautiful. We have reunions. We, you know, it's just a great, great experience. And in fact, I have a group of young men in the Dominican Republic who are my team there. They're great workers. And so they're part of the deal. And one of them has just moved. He's here in the States.
Ah.
And so I called one of them. She said, oh, we are going to see him. Like, but just so nice. And it's not a romantic thing. It's, we are brothers and sisters.
Tell us a little bit about how you find, do you find a group and then work with that group, or do people come to you individually and then it's your job to help form them into a group before they're even a community?
All of the above.
All right, so talk to us about that.
It's because my job, I travel around the United States doing mission appeals.
Mm-hmm.
And then people hear about it, exactly what you just did. You're like, I want to go. Because you heard a little bit. Now, I could start crying right now because how it started, I had no intention of ever doing this at all. But when those young girls said, it sounds cool, we'd like to do it, I said no. And it was Philly girls, and this only Philly girls can do. Their hands went on their hips, and they said, look, sister, it's your job. And I'm like, yo, back off telling me my job. So anyway, at that point, I had a boss who was a priest who was very, seriously, he looks like Ken, as in Barbie and Ken.
Oh.
Like perfect, like really perfect, okay? So I was like, oh, you know what, I'll ask him and he'll say no. So anyway, I told the girls I'd ask him and they're like, oh, you're not going to ask him. I said, hey, you think I dress like this so I can lie? I said, I'm going to ask him, don't worry. So they wrote down this whole thing and I presented it and he was like, what is this? And I, you know, went on and said, look, I said, I talk about the best thing of the church. I said, and here are these kids. And they're saying, oh my gosh, we get to live this, you know? And so that's,
yes.
Okay. And really I could sob thinking that people hear me speak for 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And they go, I want that. I want to try that. I want to taste that. Okay. So then I'll get, like, I just got an email from somebody who I just met. I was in California the last 3 weekends. Okay. Just got an email from one of the girls. I want to go. I met fifth graders. That's the best grade. Okay. And they're like, we want to go. Eighth graders. When we are bigger, we're coming with you. Okay. And so I might have a group now, and there could be an actual youth group. There's an actual full-blown youth group from Andover, Massachusetts, and they come together. Kids who go to my high school, where I graduated from, Marion Catholic High School in hometown Pennsylvania, okay, I'll have three or four from there, and then I'll have somebody from New Jersey and somebody from Philly. It's just, and so
wonderful.
They, and we have a packing party because we take donations down. That proves your mettle because it's really, it's wrenching going through all these things and back. But so we start before we ever leave.
Okay.
And then when we get down there, and part of it is we pray together, we work together, we do dishes together, we do, you know, it's not just the going out part, it's living together.
So what's most interesting is that there are young people that are interested. And I think we should have you back again because there are so many, like, small nuggets of how we connect in a community, whether it's, you know, at home, at work, and we're talking about lifestyle and connecting with people. So you have so many young people that are so interested. I'm so interested in the women, or the young women, and their mm-hmm. perspective.
Yeah. We could bring some of them. I mean, we have some of these, you know, the Katie who has come with me 8 times, like, she would be an awesome person to have because she has been with so many different groups to even talk about what has happened in her life because of that. And it was just great stuff. Yeah.
Well, when you talk about the young girls, I'm asking if they can wear mascara. And the group that was very much into how they translated the experience as their own versus connecting cross-culturally with other young women. I have so many questions, but we're going to keep it only to one for time's sake. But how can the youth or young women here in the States learn from a connection with a young woman living a completely different experience? I mean, you're talking about cultural, you're talking about, like, the benefits and the privileges that we have here in the States. What is one of the biggest impacts, or how can we empower not just women in the United States? Because I know your opinion might be we might be more repressed, and maybe repressed
is not repressed. It's just that
confined.
Yeah, by each other.
Yeah.
By each other. What I see is this: these young women afraid. I don't know if the word is afraid, but to really step out and to really be daring and bold because of the control that the group puts on them. Because if you don't dress this way, or you don't look that way, or you don't fix your hair this way, or you don't wear this mark of clothing, it just kills me.
Is that both here and there?
There, it's different. My most recent experience is Dominican Republic, which is a very machista society, okay? Our girls in the Dominican Republic, they have much less freedom than the young men for being able to go out and do things. Mm-hmm. And the society is very sexualized, okay? So they're wearing very tight clothes and all this kind of stuff. But those young women, they're going to college, and they're, like, something new is happening there. And they know how to cook a meal, and they know how to take care of a family, but they're also growing. And I guess I don't see, I see a greater admiration of one another among them than a pushing down of one another, right, which I see here.
So that's the difference.
Yeah.
So if there was something that you could, because we don't have someone here who's been on a trip, but if there was something that you could say, especially to our women listeners, and I don't think this excludes the men either, but what can we do as parents, as brothers and coworkers, to encourage like women to be daring or to be empowering? Like, what would you say we could do? Like, what is an action step?
You know,
like,
how do we make it possible? I go back to my own family. Mm-hmm. In my family, I'm one of six kids, one boy, five girls. And I will tell you that every one of us, the five girls, were very different from each other. Each one of us took a different trip. But our parents, they gave us such self-confidence. Whatever we wanted to do, it was like, you can do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think we need to say that to our young women.
Yes.
You can. Yes you can. Mm-hmm. Can I do this? Of course you can. Mm-hmm. You know, and to really be there with them, to not be, you know, like, oh no, I don't think that you would be strong enough, or you would be.
You can't say things like that to a child and then say to them, dream big, because you've just dashed any hope of any dream being shared between the two of you. In Mentors for Berks Youth, I worked with one of my mentees, which we call proteges, was a young lady who was raised in DR.
Oh.
And she came to America to live with her. She was with her grandparents, came to live with her mother when her mother had a little baby. And she was 10 years old, and she was the caregiver for that little baby.
Of course she was. That's right.
And it was hard for me. I learned an awful lot about the DR, the machismo, I think, did I say it right?
Machismo.
Yeah. That was an eye-opener to have a title for it, because it's so prevalent in that, and you have to understand that culture to understand where they're coming from, and then to try to insert that here in America was a tough road to hoe with that young lady. She was a delight, but it was, and you really do need to bring it full circle.
I think you do.
We do.
Yeah.
So how can people find Mentors for Berks Youth, Pam?
Their website is M4BY, Mentors for Berks Youth, .org. M4BY.org, and you can learn a little bit about us. It's a one-to-one relationship that we have with students that we get right now from Reading School District, although some of those children have moved around the county, and the mentor has followed the protege to wherever they are, so we're spotty, but we're concentrated in working with the Reading School District to identify kids who, absent a mentor in their lives, won't realize that they can dream.
Right. And how can people find you, Sister Lisa?
Oh, good luck. No, kidding. we have a website, which is www.mscreading.org. But personally, I have an email. It's Sister, S-I-S-T-E-R, Lisa, L-I-S-A, Sister Lisa, and then the number 1, @hotmail.com. And I am available. Right. No, it's because somebody else used my number.
No. Now, you do also nun
Oh, I have a radio program, which is None on the Run. It's once a month. There's a CatholicFMRadio.com. It's 24 hours radio thing. And so it's just an internet. There's not a radio station. It's an internet radio program. And there's not a given day for it. You have to kind of look at the schedule online. And I can't remember right now offhand. I know it's next week, maybe on the 4th. I think the night of the 4th of October, 7:30 p.m. I know that time. I just don't remember the day. But and it's great. And then, like, just this whole, I do vocation work. So for, again, young women looking, who are we called to be? And saying, we are called to be whoever we can be, you know, and knowing that we make a difference.
And knowing that we're different people at different times, but true to ourselves all through all of it. That's a hard balance.
I think I'm sorry that Tracy's not here because I feel like we've had our Oprah moment. Except we'll just call it the Sister Lisa moment.
Thank you.
But I really appreciate that we had this dialogue because I think wellness is all about all of these things and building community. I would have never seen it from that perspective. So I really appreciate that. And I know you're like literally on the run, like you're running to the airport.
Boston,
next.
I am.
Yes.
I am. So but that whole thing, what you just said, wellness. Wellness, it involves, you know, what we eat and how we think, but it's our mind. It's how we think about ourselves. It's how we see ourselves. That when we look in the mirror, that we're happy with the person who's looking back at us. And that has nothing to do with how my hair looks or what my face looks like.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I should just, like, mic drop. Just do that. And I thank you so much for your wisdom because it's so refreshing to hear. So be sure to find Sister Lisa if you'd like to tune in to the radio station. I think that's really great, Not on the Run. And Pam, thank you so much for being my co-host. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry Tracy's not here. She would have loved it. But stay tuned in because we'll probably talk about, you know, these issues again. I think when we rotate the show, you guys are listeners, you know. So let us know, like, just drop a note. Let us know what you think, if you enjoy this episode, what you like, what you don't like. And, of course, you can find me at phoebespurefood.com, where I share recipe tips for wellness living, places to eat, things to do, and just community connection. So thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. And leave us a note. Let us know what you think. Otherwise, say yes, right?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Thanks,
guys. Have a blessed weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.